Wednesday at 7 at Karen and Miles' house. That's 102 Acorn Court. I'd like all the ladies to come. Yes, Sam.
Incidentally, after the CPW meeting, we were just at the children's home, and we got to meet the child, Ashley is her name, that this church sponsors, and we just spent some time with her Friday afternoon. So I'll try to get you some pictures. I got a picture of her tonight.
Oh, great. Because we only get one about once every around Christmas, I think is when we get one. Great. Okay, is there anything else that needs to be mentioned before I... Go ahead, Larry.
The building project, three and four floor, I think. So it's best, unless it's a real emergency, go out this way. And because that's set up, hopefully ready to go in the morning. And we want to bring that to your attention. Thank you for your patience again. And we should have the floor in, and you know, what will follow that. Maybe the walls, you know, the frame. I think that's the only announcement. I have some prayer concerns, but share them.
Get into that in just a second. Is there anything else? Okay. I guess we'll move on to the prayer concern. Well, no. First-time visitors. Are there any first-time visitors? Yes, Bob. Glad to have you. Well, we have a new daddy in the audience. That would be Jamie. You want to tell about your little boy? That's great. Okay, and we'll move on to prayer concerns at this time. Yes, Mike.
No, but I'm not here for a couple of weeks. I get hungry to be back to see folks and to talk with you, but particularly when I have prayer concerns. My heart is heavy this morning. I have three dire prayer concerns. First of all, most of you probably know that our Amy had surgery Tuesday of this past week for a ruptured disc. She had a nasty ruptured disc. She had surgery. The surgery went well. She's doing fine. She's not used to being homebound and being still. She either has to lie down or stand up and walk. She cannot sit. And this was on for at least another week, maybe a little longer than that. However, I will. The healing process is going good, but she's blue. And I believe it honestly, and I'll just tell you honestly, she hasn't received a card or a call from any of her co-workers, but she's very blue. And your body can't heal if your psyche is messed up. So if you feel less, to send her a card or give her a call on the phone, I know she'd love to hear from you. And we would appreciate it too. This past week, having been a scoutmaster of Boy Scouts of America for 6 years, and having been with boys and tried to take young boys into young manhood, I was saddened to learn of four scout leaders losing their lives at Fort Abbey Hill, Virginia, which is the site of the National Scout Jamboree for 4 years. And then there was a read in the paper yesterday, another scoutmaster was killed in a lightning storm in Fresno, California later this week. So please pray for those families of those victims or those accidents, as well as all those young men who have lost a very formative figure in their lives. And then I have one last prayer concern that I would ask you for. Mary Jo and I went to the car show they had behind the mall in Murfreesboro Friday night. And I ran into an old friend of mine. He and I have been knowing each other for almost 20 years. His name is Mike Notes. N-O-K-E-S is the last name. We call him Moose. He's a big guy. He'll go about 260 to 280. Moose lost his job at our workplace almost 2 years ago. And it wasn't because of his work, and I don't know any details there. But he's devastated. And his wife told me how much she appreciated him stopping and seeing his daughter. said the IU town guy come up and hug him. We're playing with the mother, like, crush that motion, like, so please pray for our aim, for all the scout leaders and scouts of America, and for my friend, my notes, and his name. I pray. Thank you.
Is there anyone else? Yes, Elizabeth. Yeah. I'm sorry. But you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I thought you were somewhere else.
My Katie is in her need to become a college graduate. Is facing a very specific hurdle this afternoon. It's her senior jury in front of the panel. Some of whom don't want to be there, so she's going to have that strike against her. Because Sunday afternoon is the only day the hall is open. So I said I would get Jenkins praying on her behalf. She's a great performer, and of all time, she says she's nervous before the performance. Usually she's not. So I said, if you'll pray for her steady nerves and for us being able to handle whatever the outcome is. But this is a very serious step in her career. So give her a little prayer of strength and lift her up this afternoon.
Okay. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Okay. Anyone else?
Two concerns here. Jerry Joyce McAdams, your grandchildren, been with us 4 weeks. Jerry's mother passed away yesterday. She's down near Beaumont, Texas. He's got to travel down there. But Jerry, for those who don't know, you just raise your hand and okay, that's Jerry. So offer your condolences to him. Also, Brother Benninger came and worshiped with us at 8 o'clock this morning, and a friend of many of us from the Touchland Church is Don Russell. And many of you know Don. Don had bypass surgery a short time ago, and he had a heart attack yesterday. That was Don, that sweet personality that he always went to Touchland Church, and Don was there, and kind of a shock. But this is Don's family.
Okay.
And then the rose on the altar started out with Coach Bud, but as he moves on, his honor of practice.
Okay. If you don't mind, please write those on the card that are on the front of the pew so we can get the names correctly spelled for the book. Amy? Okay.
Yes. Our aunt Rose Martin, she's in the hospital right now. They're running tests. We're not really sure what's wrong with her. We're hoping to find out. She's in the hospital.
Yes,
Vicki.
Yes, ma'am.
Anyone else? Okay, if there's nothing else, we'd like to pause now for a moment of silent prayer. Amen.
You are my king. You are my
like you to join with me in the call to worship, and it is responsive. Give praise, you that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. God is gracious and good.
We shall praise the Lord and sing to God's name.
Good morning. Please stand, because we're going to be standing on the promises. We can't sit if we're standing. 271.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praise and ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, that cannot fail. When the howling storms of death and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior,
let us pray. Dear Father, we are so grateful for this wonderful day that you have created. We do serve an awesome God who stands with us, and we do stand on the promises that you have made. We look to you always as we go about our day, as we go about the things we need to do, as we look and see what you have done in this world. As we look to you today, as we come to you with your word and we study your word, open our hearts and open our minds to what you have to say to us. Through the prayer that you've taught us all to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Time now for the Apostles' Creed. Can be found in the hymnal on page 716 or up behind me on the wall. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his Lord, Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, ascended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. Hence he has come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We be to the Father.
Turn in your hymnal to 522, He Lifted Me. And we'll sing the first, third, and fourth verses.
Oh,
we all pretty much know that we are learning 519, something beautiful. If you want to play through it, maybe, Melanie, just to remind people. We'll sing through it twice. Now with Miss Andrea, the children will remain in the sanctuary today, so there will be no children's church.
Thank you.
seconds. We'll try to get us started here. Sam's not here, is he? Okay. We'll see if we can do it.
Thank you.
We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. How many, don't have to raise your hands because I know it's going to be unanimous, have done that in the past week? Now, I don't think anybody in here has robbed a store or murdered somebody or committed adultery, but envy, greed, malice, those are all the sins that creep up in our hearts as Christians. And those are the sins that God wants us to ask forgiveness for. Many of those who believe now came and openly confessed their evil deeds. Just bow for a few seconds and confess your sins to the Lord. We are assured that we are forgiven. In Matthew 26:28, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins."
Our offertory sentence today comes from Exodus 35:4-5. Moses said to the whole Israelite community, "This is what the Lord has commanded. From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing to bring to the Lord an offering of gold, silver, and bronze." Will the ushers please come forward?
Oh, there's Karen. I was looking for Karen. Karen's going to have an announcement about the installation of the officers.
First, I'd like to thank all the women from our church who have helped with the sermon today, with the sermon and with the service and with everything that they've done today. I would like to personally thank you for that. It has been a privilege to have been the president of the CPWM, which is the Cumberland Presbyterian Women's Ministry, for the past 2 years. Today we're going to install new officers for the 2005-2006 year. So as I call your name, please come forward. Deborah Eckert will be our president. Elizabeth Ewing will be our vice president. Rebecca Fielder will be our recording secretary. And Julie Bomar will be our treasurer. I would also like to recognize Diane Riggs. Diane, if you'd like to come forward, please. Diane sends cards to all the people that I think throughout the church, maybe not only the women that we put on our prayer list when we have our meetings, but she sends cards, thanking of you cards, get well cards, to a lot of people, and I think that's a very important part of the women's ministry. The women's ministry meets the first Wednesday of every month. We meet usually here at the church at 7 o'clock. If you've not ever been to a women's meeting, I would strongly encourage that you come. We have church business that we tend to, but most of the time we just have fellowship. We have a good time. We like to eat a lot. In the past, we've had Bible studies. Now Deborah's taken over as president, so she may change things a little bit. So if you've not ever been, this is the time maybe to come, since it is the beginning and the start of a new year. This Wednesday, though, we will kind of have a cookout and fellowship at my house. So I do want to again invite all the women to come to that. I'm going to kind of give them a list of their duties so they don't forget what they're supposed to do throughout the year. Bow your head for just a moment of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for these women who have agreed to lead our women's ministry. Please lift them up and give them your strength and all the decisions that they make throughout the coming year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our scripture lesson this morning comes from 2 Corinthians 1:11 and Philippians 4:6. As you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, present yourself, your request to God. The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. Good morning. As you know, today has been designated as Women's Sunday.
We have installed the new officers for the Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian women. The women sang a wonderful old hymn that reminds us of the strong arms that we have to lean on every day. Now I want to tell you a story of a woman who always found strength in her faith. God has made a way for her and her family to become a part of this congregation. Her name is Savetta Yatsky. Savetta's name should be familiar to you because we have been praying for Savetta and her family for 18 months. As you know, they will be arriving this week, Wednesday night, at the Nashville airport. There have been many incidences that we have experienced since we met Yaroslav and Savetta in 2001. How many of you ever heard of Paul Harvey and the rest of the story? Well, this is the rest of the story for Yaroslav and Savetta. As you know, Bob and I travel to Russia at least twice a year. And in January of 2001, we were in St. Petersburg, and we needed a management interpreter. We put the word out to some contacts that we needed either a man or a woman to be my interpreter and to work with me for about 6 weeks. At that point, I had about 20 or 25 words of Russian, which just wasn't going to make it answering phones or anything. God brought Yaroslav to us, and Savetta came with him for the interview. God had provided the right person that we needed for that position. By the end of the project, in mid-February, Yaroslav and Savetta had become very close to Bob and I. They are very intelligent, speak English fluently, are very hard workers, and have an American sense of humor. During this time, I discovered that Yaroslav's dream was to come to the United States. He had applied for admission, had been granted admission to Williams Baptist College in Arkansas, where he had friends. The tuition was all paid, everything was taken care of, and in the summer of 2001, he went to the United States Embassy to get his visa, where he was promptly denied. Why? Because he couldn't prove that he would return to Russia after he finished his education. Now, I've always thought, how can you prove that you're going to do something until you've done it? But that's the logic of the United States Embassy. During this time, Yaroslav and Savetta had been staying with his uncle in a one-room flat that his uncle owned. But shortly thereafter, his uncle literally threw them out, just because he wanted that space for himself. For a while there, Savetta and Yaroslav were actually homeless. They moved from friend to friend every night trying to find a place to stay. From 2001 to the present time, we have enjoyed many experiences with the kids. I call them our kids. Dining out has become one of the most favorite times we have together. This is in a wonderful restaurant just south of St. Petersburg where we took them and enjoyed a nice evening out. Over the years, we've had the privilege of meeting Yaroslav's mom, who lives in Ukraine. Yaroslav is Ukrainian. Savetta is Russian. and his mom and I just clicked. She speaks no English. I speak no Russian. It didn't matter. In the spring of 2002, I received an email from Yaroslav with the exciting news that there was going to be, there, another Yatsky. By this time, with the help of friends in the United States, they had been able to buy a communal apartment. Their room in this communal measured 10 foot by 12 foot, and they shared the bathroom and the kitchen with 15 other people. Since Savetta was pregnant, we came up with the brilliant idea of trying to get her over here to have the baby. Of course, her visa was denied too. However, they knew with the upcoming arrival of this baby, the communal flat was just not going to work anymore. It was a five-story walk-up with no elevator. They walked up five flights of stairs to get to their one room. So towards the end of the year 2002, Bob and I knew that we were going to be in St. Petersburg at least twice during 2003, and we were going to need a flat to stay in. We helped the kids financially find another flat, a larger flat that was big enough for that when we were over there, we could stay with them, but it was in a better part of town. It was a little... They didn't have to share their bathroom and their kitchen with 15 other people. It was theirs. So they moved into a three-room flat. On January 17th, 2003, Amelia was born. Savetta had a very difficult time during the delivery. And a year later had to have surgery to actually repair the damage that was done during delivery. The doctor during delivery said, "This baby isn't coming when I have this allotted time for you." So he literally put his fist at the top of the baby and pushed the baby out. And Savetta's about, well, I claim she wears a negative one dress, and broke her ribs. They broke Savetta's ribs during this process. And so she had a very long time recovering. Amelia is a dear, sweet baby who now had an American grandma and grandpa. Amelia grew by leaps and bounds. During the fall of 2003, the Yatskys found a one-room flat to purchase. They sold their communal flat and used those funds to buy a different flat, plus with some help from folks here in the States. Also in the summer of 2003, Yaroslav applied to and was admitted to MTSU. Now remember, this is 2 years ago. This time he had many more ties in Russia. But once again, he was denied a student visa. It wasn't God's time. During the project in 2004, Yaroslav and Savetta came, and Amelia came to Moscow to see Bob and I. And at that time, we sat down and talked and said, "Okay, the U.S. Embassy keeps telling you you don't have enough ties here to bring you back. Okay, so let's just go for immigration and be done with it." That was going to be the end result anyway. In March 2004, Bob and I met with attorney Cheryl Williams from Rose Immigration in Nashville. The decision was made that the best way to immigrate Yaroslav, Savetta, and Amelia was to get one or the other of them a job. And that way they would be eligible for an H-1B visa. Yaroslav has a bachelor's degree in theology. Savetta has a master's degree in theology with heavy emphasis on music. She plays the piano, the organ, the recorder, the guitar, and the harp. Well, we prayed about it, and this is the only church we know.
We've only lived here 3 years. This is the only church we know. So we decided to come and approach Larry. Got an appointment, came and talked to him on a Friday, and laid out the possibility of hiring Savetta as a minister of music. During the course of that conversation, Larry said, "Oh, this sounds great, it sounds good, but..." You know, there's always that but. "That we'd have to present it to session in 2 days." He also warned us that this was not going to be a quick decision. There was no precedence for doing anything like this in this church, and they would have to go to committee, and possibly this decision would take months. Okay, it's God's time. So during the April 2004 session meeting, Bob and I came and we presented the proposal, and I had it all in writing for them to hire Savetta. I laid out the proposal point by point and asked for questions. Then there was this horrible silence. Just silence. One of the session members then spoke up, and this is a quote. "This is what you call a no-brainer. This is what we are supposed to be doing." Does the session member here in this congregation that said it want to acknowledge that they said it? Mr. Sullivan said it. Two of the stipulations of the hire were that it would be for 1 year, and that we would need to raise support rather than having Savetta's wages come out of the church budget. Then we began to gather all the documents for the H-1B visa, fully expecting that the application would be approved and that the kids would be here last October. Well, we all know that didn't happen. In December, the H-1B visa application was denied here in the States. The H-1B visa was the ideal visa because it's a dual entry visa, because so that you're coming for a job in your specialty, but you're also coming to immigrate. So that was the ideal visa for them to come in on. We appealed that visa, but we found out that the appeal was going to take 18 months. The alternative visa, being the R1, was not a dual entry visa. You were coming for a job. Until last November 2004, when Colin Powell signed the revisions to the immigration laws saying that the R1 visa is now a dual entry visa. Come for a job, come to immigrate. One of the things we needed for this R1 visa was that Savetta, being the primary applicant for this visa, had to have attended a church for 2 years. Since they had moved from flat to flat, they had moved to different churches, so this piece of the puzzle was missing. And it wasn't going to work without that piece of the puzzle. So when we were over there this past January, I sat down with Savetta and found out that through her job, Buckner Orphan Care, they have a worship service every week. Now, it's not on Sunday, it's on Tuesday, but it's a worship service. And she'd been attending that for over 3 years. When we came back to the States, we took this information to Attorney Williams. She put together the packet, and all the requirements had been met. While we were also there this past winter, we met Savetta's father, which I think was very important that we met him and he met us, knowing that when his kids came to the States, he would know who they were living with and that they were going to be well taken care of. The other thing that happened last winter is that Amelia got to know her Deda Bob, which is Grandpa Bob in Russia. That was one of the worst things, hardest things we've ever had to do, was walk away from this little girl this past winter when she was saying, "Deda Bob, Deda Bob, Deda Bob." And she would curl up in
his lap, played with them. The R1 visa application packet was sent to St. Petersburg on May the 9th and should have arrived on May 16th. It was finally delivered in St. Petersburg on May 28th. God's perfect timing. On May 30th, they made the application for their visas and were assigned June 20th as their appointment date at the U.S. Embassy. Savetta knew that this was the opportunity to give her daughter a better life. Bob and I were also excited because we were going to be in Russia when this all happened. So many things happened during June that we were able to use to witness to others concerning God's perfect timing, and His time is the perfect time. In early June, Savetta went to Ukraine to visit Yaroslav's mom. While there, the plan was that she would return to Moscow on June 17th. Yaroslav would come from St. Petersburg on the 17th, and we would spend 3 or 4 days together. In my heart, I was saying, oh, please, why can't they come after they go to the embassy? Because after they went to the embassy, we needed time together to, first of all, if it was granted, to make plans, and second of all, if it wasn't granted, to praise God for His awesome power in our life. Well, there was no train from the Ukraine to Moscow on the 17th. She had to go to St. Petersburg. So they apologized to us all over the place about the change of plans. I went, that's God's perfect plan. So the plan was that they would come down on the 22nd of June. Yaroslav needed to go to Novokuznetsk after that, and Savetta and Amelia were going to go to the Urals and spend some time with her parents. God's perfect plan. On the Saturday prior to them going to the embassy, I was out shopping for handkerchiefs and towels to put in care packs to go out to the institutions in Russia during care lift. I'd spent about $1,000 at this one little place. And they handed me a child's washcloth with a teddy bear on it. I don't have any kids in my house. I went, look at this, look at this. God is at work. On Monday the 20th, we were in our office in Moscow. And during that time, we prayed specifically. God tells us to pray specifically. We said, God, please put in front of Yaroslav and Savetta the embassy official that will give them the positive reply to their visas. At approximately 11:30 that morning, my Russian cell phone rang, and it was Yaroslav. He said, you will have to bear with us. I went, what's that mean? Did they get their visas? Didn't they get their visas? You know, I went, okay, so I had to ask, did you get your visa? Yes, yes, we got our visas. First of all, I screamed and then I cried. But what he really needed was $200 to pay for the visas. With the help of Wendy Duke, a long time ago, I had set up a debit account for Yaroslav here in the States so that we could help him financially, particularly with the rent and things like that. So he had his debit card on him. I got on the computer in the Moscow office, brought up my checking account, transferred the $200 from our checking account to his checking account, and in 5 minutes he had the money. Wow. So grateful for technology. It's just awesome. Later I found out that the U.S. government charges Russians $100 apiece for 2-year multi-entry visas. But they don't charge Ukrainians. Yaroslav's a Ukrainian. He didn't have to pay for his visa. They had spent 3 hours in the embassy with 2 different interviewers. The second interviewer that talked to them talked primarily to Savetta because she was the primary holder of this visa. And Yaroslav stood back and talked to Amelia, took care of Amelia. And this second official
pace, back and forth, went and talked to other people, dug up all their denials out of the archive files, and finally came back to them in about 45 minutes. And by then, the kids were so weary, they just looked at him and said, just give us our documents, deny us, we've been denied before, we can do, this will be fine. He looked at them and said, you have not proven to me that you will return to Russia. And their hearts just fell. But, here's another one of those buts. But you know as well as I do that with this visa, you don't have to prove that. I must grant you your visas. In unison, they said, would you please repeat that? They couldn't believe it. The next day, they went to the designated place and picked up their visas. And on June 22nd, we met them at the train and spent a delightful day praising God and making plans. The desired travel day was August the 2nd. So later that week, they went their ways. I called Delta to make the plane, the reservations, because that was going to be done before we came home. I called Delta. I said, I need 3 tickets from Moscow to Atlanta. We figured we'd just drive to Atlanta and pick them up. They said, and I figured we were going to pay $1,500 to $2,000 apiece per ticket. The lady said, well, what's your return date? I said, I don't care what the return date is. This is an immigration. And she said, oh, I've got some great one-way fares on the 3rd. The tickets were $760 apiece. So the next day, we had to go down to the Delta office and actually in person pay for them. Bob and I were talking to the agent. We got their tickets. We were talking to the agent about our tickets back home and seating and stuff like that. And the ticket agent looked at us and said, well, do you want these other 3 tickets all the way to Nashville? I said, well, yeah. I said, but the trip from Atlanta to Nashville is over $300 apiece. And he looked on. He said, yeah, they are pretty expensive. I said, for that, we can drive to, for $900, we could drive to Atlanta. He said, well, let me see what it is if I ticket it from Moscow to Atlanta to Nashville, all in one ticket. He looked it up and he went, I don't believe this. I don't believe this. I said, what's the matter? He said, they're $12 cheaper. So the tickets were $748 instead of $760. You know, I looked at Bob and I said, you know what? We can't drive to Atlanta for a negative $36. We just can't do that. That doesn't work. God's perfect timing, and He answers our prayers in His time. A year ago, we would not have had a place for them to live. We do now, thanks to labors of several men in this church who came together and helped us get drywall up in their rooms and helped getting it taped, and their rooms will be ready for them to move in on Wednesday night. The song we sang earlier, Something Beautiful, Something Good, simply says it all. This is something beautiful. God has answered all the prayers that have been said for this family. They were not answered in our time, but they were answered in His time. I have 2 notes here, first from Yaroslav and then from Savetta. Are you happy now? This is Yaroslav's words. Such a question I hear almost every day. It took just a bit more than 12 years before the wish of my soul finally came true. I had to go through years of humiliation and miseries while growing up and settling down in this country, the country of, quote, freedom and wealth, unquote. Do you wonder what my answer is like? Here is what comes out of my mouth. The word happy isn't the right word for the state of our hearts. Astonished, amazed, and delighted. Words are simply not enough to describe what it feels like for me. For almost half my life, I have been dreaming about this wonderful opportunity. In the same time with this breaking news, I, as a Ukrainian, have finally, after years of being treated inhumanely by Russian clerks, have been given a 3-year visa to live with my family and work on behalf of my uncle. And on top of that, my uncle has offered to become a partner in his business. Seemingly, what else does this young man desire? These other great news look very little compared to what I have received from the Lord himself. Truly saying nothing is really important, nor matters when man's desire is in agreement with God's will. When one is adopted by such a wonderful family like Bob and Becky Leonard, when God's family embraces his love with care and true love without even being acquainted with us, how more happy could we be? We are simply coming to the home of our souls. This is from Savetta. What do I really think about coming to America? Everyone knows that one of the hardest things in our lives is to make the right choices, especially when we talk about such an important things like the place to live, things to be busy with, and etc. Sometimes we are not sure about the proper decision till the end, and when we just keep moving, looking at our circumstances, listening to our friends' advices, and to our own hearts, praying that the Lord will do his own will in our lives, will close the wrong doors and open the right ones. In our situation, we, Yaroslav and myself, could do nothing, just only dream and pray. And this fact is comforting. I definitely know that this is God himself who gave us the opportunity and opened the door. We are privileged to see how he uses his own timing and encourages his children to go till the end. He shows us the wonderful, abundant life in the body of Christ, his church. Of course, I'm a little bit scared to meet new people and to justify any expectations or not to fit in a new culture and life. But again, one thing that really encourages me is that we are small parts of the living body of Christ, a unique society, God's family. And that means that God will use us for his heavenly kingdom wherever we go. And he'll show us the way to serve him between his people in any place. Savetta is bringing her family to a new country to meet new friends and to give her family a chance at a better life. Would you prayfully consider supporting Savetta here at Jenkins? We have written letters to friends of the Yatskis and have some responses. We need about $2,000 per month to support the family. If every family that attends the early service and this service would pledge $25 a month, that is all they would need. Now, this needs to be above and beyond your present giving. A piece of paper is being passed out now with information. Please prayerfully consider supporting Yaroslav and Savetta. They will be arriving this Wednesday night at 5:55 on a Delta flight from Atlanta at the Nashville Airport. I cordially invite anyone here to be at the airport to welcome them. Of course, we will be there. This has been a dream of theirs for a long time, and God is providing. God has provided. God has answered the prayers of many. Yeah.
We can't
Come on. Come on. There is a basket at each door for you to drop your paper in if you should decide to support them.
I guess I'm being asked to pray. So if you'll bow your heads, please pray earnestly about this as I pray to God about what we're about to do. Heavenly Father, I know that You're speaking to me, and I pray that You're speaking to this congregation. In days past, I know that there has been coming to me an humbling experience. This is just one of them, as there have been several in the past days of my life. Father, I pray this morning that You would lay this on each and everyone's heart in this room. As we pray each Sunday for those on our prayer list, for those in our congregation who have needs, whether they be physical, mental, financial, spiritual, whatever they may be, Father, this morning, we come to You and we ask for Your guidance and Your direction. And we ask that You lay this on our hearts for Yaroslav, Savetta, and Amelia. Father, this is our opportunity to give this young family a chance to live in freedom, true freedom, and to praise You for it. Father, I pray this morning that You would open our minds, melt our hearts, drive away the doubts and the fears that we have, because we really don't have any at all. We live in a great land. We live in such a wonderful place. We're here. We can worship Wednesdays, Sundays, any day we want to. Father, I pray that You would have Your will in this, that You would have Your will in their lives, and that You would make us all a blessing to them. And Father, I believe with Your guidance that we can do all of these things. We seek this. We ask it of You. I expect no less of a greater God, the God Almighty who created us all, who is our Creator, our Savior, our Redeemer, and who is the great Spirit who lives among us and abides with us every day of our lives. Thank You, Lord, for this opportunity. And I know that we will do the right thing because we're Yours and because You lead us in that way. Thank You again, Father, in Your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Let's join together in our final hymn, Oh, How He Loves You and Me, number 513. And He does.
Thank you.
you to do for all of our needs. We pray continually for your direction, as has already been spoken through prayer this day. Thank you for the opportunity to be a part of your kingdom, to be a way of a channel through which your love, your message, your truth, your salvation goes out to all the world. Guide us and direct us in Jesus' name. Amen.
To shine upon you.